The message you're about to listen to is produced by CRIC Media.
I want to share with you briefly some thoughts that will serve as a foundation for a healthy marriage. Hallelujah. First of all, it's important we understand that marriage is God's idea. Say that with me. Marriage is God's idea. Say it again. Loud and clear. Okay, you didn't invent marriage. I didn't invent marriage. Marriage is God's idea. In Genesis 2 verse 18, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." The word good there is the Hebrew word tob, T-O-B. It refers to beautiful. So God ordained marriage to bring beauty into your life. But for many, marriage is not beautiful. I tell people, if you ate rotten eggs, fried eggs that was rotten, there's nothing wrong in the practice of frying eggs. What was wrong was the eggs that were used were actually rotten. So when you say marriage is bad, no, marriage is good. The individuals in a marriage are the ones that determine the quality and the condition of that marriage. Society today is a reflection. First of all, the church is a reflection of the marriages that are in that church. Every church. Every church is as healthy as its marriages. Then every society is a reflection of the health of the marriages. And if we don't do marriage well, we can never stop crime. Check any home where there has been a suicide, the marriage was sick. Check any home where there has been crime, the marriage was sick. By the grace of God, I got married as a virgin. My younger brother is 28 years old, he's still a virgin. You see, the health of a marriage is what determines the character of the children. God told me something. He said, if you fix yourself, you won't need to bother about your children. One reason why I believe in integrity is my father. So it's important that we realize that, hey, we can have sound children. We can have children of good character if our marriages are healthy. It has been said, charity begins where? Charity begins where? That means the behavior your child models is a reflection of what a child saw at home. God told me something. He said, a child does what he sees. Human beings don't learn by instinct. They learn by imitation. So what your child does is a reflection of your values. So I said, no, I'm not like that. I can tell you you're like that. Because no child was born with anger. Are you listening to me? No child was born with hate. We were all born with love. But children learn these things from home. Are you out there? Let's look at Ephesians 5. And I want us to begin from verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The condition of your marriage is a reflection of a fear of God. No man will beat his wife that fears God. No woman will insult her husband that fears God. The bottom line is the fear of God. Look at what he said. He said, submitting yourselves one to another. Any home where there's no mutual respect, there's no fear of God. When I hear, yeah, papa don't come, there's no fear of God there. That stupid woman I call a wife, there's no fear of God. The bottom line is the fear of God. It says, submitting unto one another in the fear of God. I can tell that woman has no fear of God. She broke a bottle of Coke on her husband's head. So I'm not come. The head scatter. Ingo just slap me anyhow. He had no fear of God. She too had no fear of God. That's why before you get married, one of the things to look for is the fear of God. A genuine reverence for God. A genuine love for God. We respect those we fear. We honor those we fear. I remember a minister of God, he said he used to love lying so much. And he likes talking down people. You can never win him in an argument. He said one day he was talking down his wife was crying, and she ran away. And God said, do you know you just spoke to my daughter? He said his heart smote him. He had never seen his wife as God's daughter. Do you know the way you treat your wife is the way you treat God's daughter? Do you know the way you treat your husband is the way you treat God's son? If you don't, hear me, if you don't respect your wife or your husband, so to say, you don't have a fear of God. The Bible says, he that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is begotten of him. In other words, the proof of my love for God is how I treat God's children. If you don't treat your wife with love, you don't love God. If you don't treat your husband with love, you don't love God. Period. How can a pastor beat his wife and come and preach a message in church? He's disqualified. He's disqualified. 1 John chapter 5, let me prove that to you. Verse 1, 1 John 5:1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you claim to love God, the way we know is the way you treat your spouse. That means when you look at many marriages, there is no love of God. Jesus told the Jews, he said, he that loveth me keepeth my commandments. He that loveth me not does not keep my sayings. And Jesus commands us to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, I want us to read verse 20. He says, if a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? How can you claim to love God when you hate your wife? How can you claim to love God when you hate your husband? Now, how does God love? The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That means true love gives. Where there is love, there is sharing. So the proof that you love her is a willingness to share with her. The Bible says he gave his only begotten son. That means love is always willing to share. How can my wife enter my car? Does she not have her own car? There is no fuel. Honey, can I borrow your car? Don't! That mighty Jeep is for me. That tuke-tuke is for you. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only. So if there is constant sharing in the marriage, there is love. So if you don't share with your wife, if you hide your salary, they say, honey, how much do you earn? 120 and it's 380. There is no love in that marriage. Because where there's love, there's transparency. The Bible says they were naked and not ashamed. So if a wife is lying to her husband, if Bria gets, no, not this Bria, another Bria gets a job, And she's earning 800. She says it's 500. She doesn't love her husband. Because true love is selfless. The Bible says, love seeketh not its own. So love is not self-seeking. Love is not selfish. So if you are selfish as a spouse, your marriage will be terrible. There is no marriage that is sweet that one party is selfish. It takes two to tango. So the two of you must commit to selflessness. Church, say selflessness. Yes. So if you really love, whatever it is, you share. Whatever it is, you share. Look at the way companies are right now around the world. When they want to send you abroad, they will give you a ticket for your wife. In other words, what one enjoy, the other should enjoy. If it's a wife that's working there, they will give her a ticket for her husband. She's going to America. How much more God? That means God is saying, as a man, what I enjoy, my class of dressing should be my wife's class of dressing. But many men, not that way. God so loved that he gave. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. The Bible says, he's seated in heavenly places, and we, his wife, we are seated with him. So the same quality of life you enjoy as a man, make sure your wife enjoys it. And if you are the wife that's any more, make sure your husband enjoys it. Don't treat a man like a rat. A man's greatest need is respect. If you will not respect your husband, I'm telling you, your marriage will be hell on earth. A man's greatest need is respect. You must respect him. You must respect him. That's why our mothers, those days used to koido. Is this koido they call it? You know, they used to go in there for their husbands. Respect him. Make the bed well. Arrange your room. You see, because one of the greatest needs of a man after respect is a domestic support. Men like women that know how to work. Service is an act of love. You don't love a man, you cannot serve. Many women don't love their husbands. How can your room be disorganized? A man of God said something I'll never forget. He was telling about how much his wife loves him. He said one day he was lying on the bed and he got up to go and ease himself. He said as he got up to go and ease himself and came back, his wife had already laid the bed. He says, heart broke that, come on, you love me too much. Why? Service is an act of love. I always tell women, don't let a kite do the cooking for you. Before lunch, you will take your husband on a kite. Serve him. Because another thing important to a man is food. Good food. A man does not... Man, am I right? Yes, sir. A man does not joke with good food. You use his stomach to experiment. Pepperoni will take him from you. It will not happen in Jesus' name. So, good food. Feed him. One thing a man likes, number four, is conjugal act. Very important. Conjugal act. Some people, what is conjugal act? There's a scripture, the Bible says, let him that is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Conjugal act. You know what conjugal act is? Okay. How many of you don't know? You all know, right? Okay. If you don't know, you will know. It's important to a man. Conjugal act. They say, on the woman's part, what does she want? A woman needs attention and affection. Attention and affection. That's why men, you realize that when we got our wives, we were always sending them texts. We're always calling them. But most of the time, when we get married, we stop calling them, stop sending them texts. Where are you? I lost. Call her, tell her where you are going to. She needs attention. So I don't know, my wife, any smart thing, just call person. Person no loss. So like, honey, I'm just closed. I just want to stop by at Pepperoni and buy something. Don't let her call you and say, Vero says she just saw your pepperoni. And hey, you monitor me. If I want to do bad thing, you go fi catch me. You know, don't talk like that. She wants attention and what? Affection. Give your wife, as you're in the office, Abel, you send her a text. Love you so much. Thinking of you. She will look at that text, show her friend in the office, say, see what my husband said. Her friend say, leave her, now her first love. Attention, affection. Learn to talk to your wife more than anyone else. Adam was not talking much. You say, how do you know? Because his wife was with him when Satan was talking to her. Read your Bible, say the husband with her. Most men, what they do on Saturdays, watch match. Say, honey, so what are you saying, huh? He's watching match. Give her attention. If you give your wife attention, Telemundo will not be so important. Are you out there? And another thing, before we just wrap this up here. Men, realize that women like bye-bye. Let me prove it to you from the Bible. The Bible says, when she saw that the tree was good for food, and what? Pleasant to the eyes. Women like... Am I right, ladies? That's why I tell men, before you marry, hold your pocket well. Are we together? I said, are we together? Very important. Women love gifts. That's why most of the time, Christian men find out that Christian women fall for unbelievers. Because unbelievers understand the art of giving. It's just that, how are you, Christy? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, your phone is old. Here's a Galaxy S3. Oh, Joe, you don't need to buy this. No. Just one. You can't be using that kind of phone now. It's coming. It's getting a heart. Giving. So as a man, learn to buy things for your wife when she least expect it. Don't let her do the asking. Amaze her. All the men say amen. Men, they didn't talk when I got to that bye. Now, women, I'm not saying you should be covetous. I hope you get my point. All right. Very quickly, Ephesians 5. Let's run. Verse 22. It says, wives. What did he say? Submit how? Yourselves. Submission is a choice. It says, wives, submit yourselves. You know, someone will say, oh God, make me submit. No. Wives, what did he say? Submit yourselves. It's a choice. You make up your mind to submit to your husband. One thing I saw in my mother, I respect. My mother, she, when I did common entrance in GS1, before I entered GS1, the men in the federal government college went to write it. Said that the students will not make it unless we pay them, unless they pay them, because I was not part of the bargain. We're writing exam. So my mother wanted to pay, so she went to my father and said, they said if we don't bribe, your child will not enter the school. And my father said, we will not bribe. My mother said, they said, your child will not enter if we will not bribe. My father said, he will not bribe. I want you to watch this. So my mother said, whatever you say is what we stick with. She wanted me to go to Federal Government College. So my GS1, I went to Ugbo Secondary School, Ugbo, USSU. That's where I went to secondary school, in class 1. When I got to GS2, my father's boss, His Royal Highness Edmund Dalkoro, he was working in show, my father, and said, and your son, how is your son? And he said, he's fine. What is his result like? Oh, my son always comes first from primary school, always comes first. He said, wouldn't your son like to go to, wouldn't you want your son to go to Federal Government College? My dad said, I would like it. I've always wanted my son to go to Federal College. Because of his influence. Like he said it today. By the next week, I was a federal student in GS2. Because my mother submitted to my father. What she wanted came to pass without us paying a dime. See, many women don't know submission pays. One of the wealthiest female-led ministries in the world is Joyce Meyer Ministries. She used to be very rebellious to her husband. Rebellious. And God spoke to her, and God said, if you will not submit to your husband, your ministry will not go far. And she submitted to her husband. And today, Joyce Meyer Ministry is everywhere in the world. In Latvia, in Estonia, in Croatia, everywhere. In different languages she's preaching. And she doesn't beg for money. What did God tell her? If you will submit to your husband, if you will not submit to your husband, your ministry will not go far. Every time you rebel against your husband, you just lost. She said one day they went to buy pictures, picture frames. And there were two picture frames. As they were arguing, which one to take? As they were arguing, Joyce Meyer said she won the argument because her husband is a very quiet man. So when they were carrying the picture she took, she said, God told them, you won the argument, right? She said, yes, but you just lost. Say submission. Say it again, say submission. It's a choice. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. In other words, treat your husband the way you treat Jesus. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Then it says, he is the savior of the body. In other words, husbands, one way you make your wife submit is to save her body. In other words, you are responsible for her cream, her hair. No matter how much your wife earns, make sure you are bringing money for her cream, for her hair. Make sure. The Bible tells us that there are some things a man must do. One is food. A man is responsible for the feeding of the home. Two is raiment, the clothes the woman wears. The savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Colossians says, submit to your husband as his feet in the Lord. In other words, your submission must be in line with the word of God. Not that your husband says, now we are going to go and smoke Indo. Say, the Bible says, submit me to I go high up. Is that right, church? Okay. Submission. You know, you're making decisions. You know, you put your own under. Don't say, I'm in charge of this kitchen. If I cook ogbono, it's ogbono you eat. If you don't want, go to pepperoni. You're sending your husband out because every man wants a nest without thorns. So pray. Let him always want to come home. There are many men that go home late. It's not because they like drinking. Their wife chases them out like a monster. Now listen to me. How are you? Are you back? You give him food. You go and warm it for him. Now, many times I want to eat cold food. My wife will say, let me warm it for you. Are we together? Verse 25. Husbands, what did he say? Love what your wife. Love is a choice. The word love here is agapao. It is selfless, self-sacrificing love. My wife holds my money. And she knows how to spend it too. There's a day my wife had spent my money. I was very angry. And I went to the Lord and said, she spent it. And he says, son, if you were a millionaire, will you be as angry as you are now? I said, no, sir. So they act that way. That's when I became a millionaire. It is my sacrificially loving my wife that brought us here. See, if your marriage is in agreement, you'll be amazed at what God will do. If your marriage, if you can walk in agreement, I'll never forget we're in a good amount, completed building, my wife and I. And God told me something. If the two of you will be in agreement, there's nothing you cannot achieve. See, that's why I don't like quarrel. Peace. Peace. Why? I know that so long as there is peace, there'll be prosperity. Because one of the words of prosperity is the word shalom. So wherever there is peace in a home, no matter how, those people, they are going far. Their children will go far. Why? There is peace. But any home you see plenty quarrel, it's a matter of time. Before you know, the husband has kidney disease. Before you know, there's liver cirrhosis. Before you know, there's cancer. Before you know, there's diabetes. Before you know, why? Where envy and strife is, James 3 verse 16, there is confusion and every evil work. So walk at peace. Timmy, Timmy, pray. Walk at peace. Your husband, if only one person is shouting, there can be no quarrel. The Bible says, soft answer turns away wrath. It takes two to tango. Hey, to me, what is my food not ready? I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. Darling, tell you, I'm very sorry. I will learn it today. See, if you will be in agreement with your spouse, all this financial hardship will escape you. We were living in an uncompleted building. No toilet, window has no key. Uncompleted building. We were patching the house window by window. That's the kind of house. No protector. Protector was put in the house after we had entered inside. That's the house me and my wife started from. In this Bielsa. We learned short put, practicing for Olympic. If I went, we would have won. My wife and I, representing Nigeria, would have started with Bielsa State Arts and Culture Sports Commission and move forward. Represent Nigeria. We'd have come up with medal laurels all over our shirts. Are you learning something today? He says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Lay yourself down for your wife. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is the one that we all men have to work on. He says, the way you talk about your wife is an expression of the measure of how much you love your wife. It says we are to sanctify, to make holy. That means we dignify our wives by the way we talk about them. Look at this. A man enters an occasion. He's the man. All right? And he enters. And they are treating his wife anyhow. He doesn't care. I do care. It says he will sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The word is rhema. The way you talk about your wife. If you love anyone, the way you talk about them is the way we know. If you love your husband, the way you talk about him. So who don't come? He don't carry in two left leg come. That's the wife. What will your friend say? If the wife says her husband has two left leg, am I the one that will say he has two right leg? If you say your wife is stupid, is it your friend that will say your wife is wise? See, you sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by your words. Rema, the way you talk about your wife. Am I irresponsible, nonsensical, idiotic, egotic, Yorubaic, Hausaic, Izonic husband that I married? Only you. So how can I praise your husband? So your husband say, yeah, that your husband don't come. Say, no, don't come my husband like that too. It started from you. Don't take any insults. So your useless husband don't come. Don't accept that. Say, my husband is not useless. I have a good husband in Jesus' name. No matter how bad he is. Are we together? Tell someone, speak the right words. Now look at the man. He says, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Holy, that means, it's telling me that whatever my wife becomes as a man is up to me. So if somebody is complaining about your wife's character, you are to blame. He says, you are the one that will sanctify her. You will talk her into her destiny. You present her to yourself, not to others, to yourself, a glorious choice. Not having spot or wrinkle. You are caring for her face. Some people, if you look at their wife's face, it has magnified pimples. The man doesn't care. How can your wife have lakba lakba? She's wearing the same clothes again and again. So presenting to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Look at verse 28. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife does what? Loveth himself. See that? So the way I treat myself is an expression of my self-love. Think about it. The way you want to be served, treat this woman well. And woman, submit to your husband. There's a couple in our church. The marriage was about to be destroyed. The woman was contemplating suicide. She sent me an SMS that the marriage is going to end. And I said, let me come. We spoke with her. And their marriage is a lot better than what it was. Every marriage is redeemable. You know what I said? Every marriage is redeemable. Let me tell you a short story before we close this message. There's a woman that was from a wealthy family in America. A minister told the story. And her husband came to her. She was not born again then. And lied that he was God. Told her everything about her life and that he was God. And she was not born again. So she married him. That she should marry him. So after marrying him, she knows that he used to levitate, float in the air. Used to levitate. And do all kinds of things. She would ask for her children. The man would say no. He would lock the children in the basement. Very wicked man. When there's a full moon, he would shout like an American werewolf. Those of you know where, woo! Every full moon. He'd be bathing, doing some strange things on the wall. And strange. Finally, she got born again. She went to leave the marriage. And told this minister she went to leave the marriage. And he was like, you don't have to. God can save your marriage. He said, no, you don't know my husband. He's so terrible. He said, why don't you just love your husband sacrificially? Just keep loving him, treat him well as though he's a good man and all that and all that. So she kept on doing it. So finally, the minister said he should go for counseling. So they went for counseling. When they were before the counselor, the man started lying about his wife, that the wife is wicked. What he used to do, he says, the wife that does it. So the counselor got angry. The counselor was also a pastor. Got angry and was like, what kind of nonsense? Who is still this kind of wicked woman? The wife of the pastor was begging him, let him finish the story. So the man finished the story. They asked the woman, do you have anything to say? She said, she's not going to say anything. So they left. So the pastor said to the man, no man should steal this kind of woman. And while they were going out, the man asked his wife, he said, why did you not defend yourself? And the woman said, because I love you. The man got born again instanta. The only problem that started happening in the marriage was that the man now wanted to go into the ministry. The wife said she did not want to marry a pastor. That was the problem that now came. But I want you to see, that marriage in the natural is irredeemable. Second marriage in our church. The lady, her husband was very promiscuous. And he was not born again. And she came to me. She went to leave the marriage and all that. Because she was married before she joined us. I said, the marriage is redeemable. She said, Pastor, you don't understand. Let me tell you how bad it was. One day he was beating her. And the lady started shouting, in the name of Jesus, her husband started manifesting. Scattering all the mirrors, all the glasses in the house. The husband was manifesting. But guess what? Right now, the marriage is a lot better. This promiscuous, formerly promiscuous man is buying properties in the name of his wife and children. So your marriage is not that bad. So I believe your marriage will be better from today in the name of Jesus. No man yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it even as the Lord, the church. In other words, take care of your wife. For we are members of his own body. Of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence what? Reverence what? Her husband. Respect your husband. No matter the condition of your marriage, it is redeemable. But remember how we started. It begins with the fear of God, the love of God. Bow your heads, please, in this place. You cannot love unless God comes inside of you. I tell the daughters of this house, no man can love you who doesn't love God yet. And to love God, you have to be born again.
Thank you for listening to this message. As we preach the full message of this new life, our goal is to raise a people who are like Jesus by exposing them to the influence of God's Word and His Spirit in an atmosphere of love, so that they may be able to take the love of God, the Word of God, and the healing power of God to every individual within their sphere of contact. For more information on how you can get other messages by Apostle David Wale Fesso, visit us at Charismatic Renaissance International Church, Kilometer 9 and 10, along Isaac Boro Expressway, Birubulu, Yenegua, Bayelsa State. You can also visit our website at CRIchurch.org. Follow us on Facebook at Charismatic Renaissance or call 003-382-7072 or 005-120-4708. God bless you.
The message you're about to listen to is produced by CRIC Media.